Public Broadcasting Network. If you can support the network, folks, please do so. If you have the financial resources where it's not going to put you in a bad spot, throw the network a few bucks. Board Ops got to get paid. All the bills down there in Round Rock got to get paid. So try to do what you can. So this guy Fenton, Robert J. Fenton, who was with the FEMA detail on another part of Hawaii before the fires started, and then miraculously the fires happened and you had a big FEMA meeting that was going on with the governor and all them guys, I think the mayor of Maui or somebody, and the emergency manager that quit, and all of them are up there rubbing elbows with the FEMA gang before the fires broke out. So this guy, White House National Monkeypox Response Coordinator. Isn't that nice? He joined FEMA in 96. He worked on large-scale response and recovery operations in the U.S. and has responded to more than 50 federal disasters, including Hurricane Katrina, the four Florida hurricanes of 2004, the Southern California wildfires of 2003 and 2007, the Typhoon Pongsona on Guam, and the 9/11 World Trade Center terrorist attacks. Remember FEMA was on site before 9/11 went down? I wonder if he was there. He's part of the deep, deep, deep cabal. Okay? And just pretty interesting when they mentioned this dude's name. And I'm like, well, let me look him on up. And then this is what you see, the kind of... What was that guy? Oh, Ken Feinberg. Remember that Jewish guy, Kenneth Feinberg, the fixer, the lawyer that... I'm going to look him up real quick, just because I know some of the listeners, not, you know, we get new listeners all the time. But this guy, okay, attorney specializing in mediation and alternative dispute resolution, served as chief of staff to Ted Kennedy, special master of the U.S. government's September 11th victim compensation fund, special master for the TARP executive compensation, remember, troubled asset relief program. Additionally, Feinberg serves as the government-appointed administrator for the BP, Deepwater Horizon Disaster Victim Compensation Fund. Feinberg was also appointed by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to administer the One Fund, the Victim Assistance Fund established in the wake of the 2013 Boston Marathon fake bombings. Feinberg was also retained by General Motors to assist in the recall response by Volkswagen to oversee their U.S. compensation of VW diesel owners affected by the VW emissions scandal. Hired by Boeing in 2019 to oversee the distribution of $50 million to support 737 MAX crash victims. Also adjunct professor at Columbia University School of Law, University of Penn Law School, Georgetown, the Jesuit University Law Center, and so forth and so on. But this guy, I mean, he's been involved in so much stuff. Hokey Spirit Memorial Fund. A Virginia Tech press conference release said that Feinberg would work pro bono as the chief administrator. That was a member of the Virginia Tech shootings where 30-something people got killed. I mean, this guy, you get into the Penn State settlement, dozens of personal injury claims against from Jerry Sandusky. Remember that? Aurora Victim Relief Fund. The disbursement of donations. Remember the Aurora shooting? One of the ones that, you know, just slips your mind. The Newtown Sandy Hook Community Foundation. He was given permission by the Connecticut Attorney General to distribute 7.7 from the fund. General Motors car recall. I mean, this guy... 2016, United States DOJ appointed Feinberg to oversee the Victims of State-Sponsored Terrorism Fund. Archdiocese of New York Independent Reconciliation and Compensation. Is this guy the only freaking lawyer in the world that can handle stuff like this? United Methodist Church, he worked pro bono to mediate the impasse between representatives of factions within the United Methodist Church regarding its position on homosexuality. Roundup product litigation. Special master in the Roundup, you know, for Monsanto. Multi-district litigation by the United States District Court. I mean, you guys, I mean, jeez. And I like to bring up guys like that from time to time due to the fact that just how insane that is, and how you have these people, you constantly see them, like Ben Crump. Anytime something happens to like a black victim, so-called, with a cop or anything of this nature, a racial incident, boom, there's Ben Crump. And Feinberg, this other guy, he's involved with the big, heavy mediation stuff. Very, very fascinating to see all this. Now, this was breaking this week. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, supposedly could be retiring at the end of the month. That's what Hal Turner's breaking that this week. Quite a number of Pentagon staff seem to think this has to do with the utter failure of the Ukraine situation. One Pentagon officer said rats are fleeing the sinking ship, blah, 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 blah. And then Hal Turner, editorial opinion. I'm not a fan of General Milley in any way. After the November 2020 presidential election, when Milley penned a letter also signed by the rest of the Joint Chiefs telling members of the armed forces they would serve Joe Biden, despite what I saw was a clear and obvious election fraud, which put Biden illegitimately into office. I thought Milley should have been gone right then and there. Instead of defending the actual vote, which reelected Trump, Milley embraced the illegitimate Biden victory. It made me sick to my stomach. Once Biden was in, the whole Ukraine thing flared back up. It had quieted down to nothing during the administration of Trump. Yet within weeks of Trump's departure, war was back on the agenda in Ukraine. So here we are 19 months into the Russian special military operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, and Russia's winning big. I suspect but cannot prove Milley was among the hawks pushing this Ukraine-Russia fiasco, perhaps deluded by his own propaganda. Milley never seemed to realize that Ukraine never stood a chance against Russia. There's a lot of speculation you could go back and forth on concerning Milley and Russia and all that stuff. So, you know, this real crazy situation here. This is floating around. So this guy, David Ignatius, okay, used for decades as a conduit for anonymous intelligence officials to spew their claims, no matter how erroneous, partial, or unsubstantiated those claims are. And he doesn't mind being so used. So CIA, this the article is CIA pulling the plug on Biden, okay? According to Fox News' Jesse Waters, the signal to traitor Joe Biden could hardly have been clearer. Make no mistake, Ignatius's claim is more than a suggestion. It's a marching order. When American intelligence wants to put out a hit, they feed it to David Ignatius. And today, Ignatius pulled the pin on Joe Biden's 2024 run. He's turning Washington's whispers into a rallying cry. The American intelligence community has to tie up their loose ends. Even the media is falling in line, admitting the Democratic Party is a dishonest monolith, a mob that can't function when it's fractured. The Biden-Kamala ticket is being canceled in its entirety, and the intelligence community is making a calculation. He's talking about Ignatius's column in Tuesday's Washington Post, and he appeared yesterday on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Okay, so it's like this. We're all seeing CNN and all these people now reading the tea leaves, getting their marching orders from the cabal that, yes, it's time to throw Biden under the bus and start embracing a new paradigm. Now, this is up on the Western Journal. Governor Gavin Newsom, this is from September 15th, officially calls for the convention to change the U.S. Constitution. So he says, oh, I'm not running in 2024, blah, 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 blah. Just keep your eyes on Newsom. I pinpointed this guy years ago as a real candidate for the Antichrist. And I know people will laugh at that, but this guy's a real slick sleazebag, and he comes out of this Pelosi Jesuit San Francisco gang and the Getty fortune and all this stuff. You just got to keep your eyes on him, okay? And I said that about Andrew Cuomo, but Cuomo got thrashed and he got torched. Now, whether he'll get resurrected at some point or not, we shall see. But I still got my eyes on Newsom, just due to the fact of how wicked he is. Okay, so the state's legislature on Thursday approved a resolution in support of Newsom's call for a 28th constitutional amendment. The amendment would enshrine a list of Democratic gun control policy priorities into federal law. California just became the first state in the nation to officially propose an amendment to the U.S. Constitution to end our nation's gun violence crisis. California is requesting a constitutional convention to enshrine the amendment. For the amendment to be considered, two-thirds of state legislatures would have to vote in favor of a convention. Now, people were like, oh, well, we'll never do that. But you've had Mark Levin and you've had a bunch of people out of the conservative side of the House, so-called conservative side of the House, calling for constitutional conventions for a long, long time. And they've got a bunch of states on board. So once that happens, everything's on the table. The entire Constitution is on the table. And, you know, the Birchers been warning about that for years. They were throwing Mark Levin and these people that want this con under the bus for years. And so now, you're having people from the left side of the political spectrum, which we would just say, uniparty, dialectic movement here where you already have a bunch of states already signed on to this con, which to me makes no sense because the idiots in around the states in all these state governments, none of them can compare to the people that put the Constitution together. And so we've got a bunch of cryptos in the Republican Party that are actually insurgents from the Marxist side. You see them all over in all your states, and that's why you get nothing done by Republicans. And then you have the more monolithic Marxist Democrat Party who just everything scorched earth with them. So you do a con, and what's going to come out of the con is going to be some sort of wicked and evil monstrosity. And it's going to be, hell on earth. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there. MSM warns that the Aris variant is on the rise. Okay. So the Aris variant, which is different than Parola, has been classified as a variant interested by the tyrannical agency, the World Health Organization. Since May 2023, the EG.5 lineage, blah, 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 known as Aris, has been spreading globally and was classified as a variant of interest by the WHO in August. However, the cause of the increasing spread of Aris has been unclear to health tyrants. But haven't they already told us that we pass this infection amongst ourselves and we don't mask up or social distance? Why the confusion? Blah, 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 blah. And so this is on SHTF plan. Now, State of the Nation had up this thing on Aris from way back a couple weeks back, okay? And this is from August 23rd. The Aris PSYOP, much more devious than Plandemic 1.0, Plandemic 2.0, featuring the Omicron EG.5.1 Scarian. Now, what's interesting is you get into what the word Aris means in Greek, E-R-I-S. It means strife. The Greek goddess of strife and discord. What are we seeing out here in our country right now? Her Roman equivalent is Discordia, which means the same. Aris's Greek opposite is Harmonia, whose Roman counterpart is Concordia. You see harmony, concord, you got strife and discord. Isn't that nice that they named it Strife and Discord, this new variant? And then you have this whole zombie stuff, you know, with people talking about. Isn't that going to be some strife and discord? Though she is also described as opposing Nike, counterpart of the Roman Victoria. So, Eris, Greek goddess of strife and discord. She was often portrayed more specifically as the daimone of strife of war, haunting the battlefield and delighting in human bloodshed. Isn't that nice? Eris, the new variant. Blood supplies and 80% of the nation's polluted with spike protein. Dr. Chris Shoemaker from Toronto. 80% of many countries have damaged blood pool. People are at risk from contaminated blood from the spike proteins in the affected blood. Look, think about that, man. They just said, oh, you could donate blood if you've been jabbed. And then, boom, the Red Cross and all these other people, they're sitting on tons of this freaking spiked up blood. And then something happens to one of us and we get shot. We get in a car wreck, something happens to us in some sort of accident where we lose a lot of blood. And those of us that have remained aloof from these injections, guess what? Especially if you're unconscious, you're going to get spiked up blood, man. Just, just amazing to think about this. And I thought about it. I'm like, gosh. And everybody was warning against this, you know, to market, Okay. This is about Chicago and this idiot little low IQ moron mayor that they selected to put in there to further oversee the wrecking of this once great city. The Soviets successfully pulled off a number of dirty tricks which increased their power but impoverished their citizens. Among them was to stir up class warfare by politicizing envy. Look at these strikes we got going on. And you got these strike leaders with the United Auto Workers. And I get some of the reasons, especially with the multi-tiered pay, where like they're hiring all these new people, these kids, to work for $15-17 an hour. Right along the people making the union scale wage. And some of them haven't had any kind of pay raise in like 8 years and so forth. I get it. I'll tell you this, though. Ford's collapsing because of the freaking they've invested so much in these stupid electric vehicles, which nobody wants. So they're in big trouble. That's all over the place. And now three of the big airlines, they got their people about to go on strike. So this is all. You can tell that there's a hidden unseen hand doing all this. OK. And if you can't see that, you really don't know. You need to watch how these news organizations do the same talking points every day across the nation. Then you'll understand why you've got these labor unions going on strike at a certain point in time. This is heiress. This is strife and discord. And they got something wicked this way comes. Okay. Thus, unsuccessful farmers were urged to demonize and even kill kulaks, that is, any productive farmer in the area. Another trick was to fail to provide factories with sufficient raw materials to fulfill the overly optimistic state-set production quotas, and then criminally prosecute factory managers who couldn't meet these targets as saboteurs. So you purposefully, you hold back the raw materials, knowing they're not going to be able to meet quotas, and then you're going to criminally prosecute factory managers and then say they're saboteurs. It deflected from their own failures, but unsurprisingly resulted in a shortage of qualified managers and engineers. It's disheartening to see the same tactics being used by unsuccessful politicians in North America, though you can easily see why they are desperate enough to try it. Now it gets into this stuff here, okay? Retail theft increases prices, and that is perfectly predictable consequence of the defund the police movement. You just had these guys in the couple days smashing and grabbing, taking all these Rolexes. I mean, L.A. is getting crazy. Stores lost an estimated $86.6 billion to retail theft in 2022. Projections indicate that in 2025, it may cost stores over $115 billion. Retailers lost as much as $94.5 billion in gross revenue to theft. 58% of organized retail crime is cargo theft. So you got, remember all those mobster movies where the mobsters would be like, they'd be ripping off stuff at the ports and all that stuff. You know, Goodfellas and all those movies. The average shoplifting incident cost retailers $461 in 2020. But Ben, you're getting into, you know, the move when they're talking about defund the police, and you know you're talking about New York, L.A., San Fran, Seattle, Chicago, Portland, which thought the defund movement was a great idea. Businesses are leaving, tax rolls are down, and consumers are being seriously inconvenienced in their ability to buy what they want. Law enforcement officers are leaving these places in droves and recruiting new ones. It's so hard that Chicago is hiring even illegal immigrants for those positions. And that's all done by design, too, folks, because when the gulags crank up, you don't want constitutional-minded, even, you know, barely constitutional-minded cops, let alone, you know, some of the goons that we see. But at the same time, you got illegal aliens. They'll just do what they're told. Mayor of Portland, who ceded control of the city to left-wing criminals, has indicated he won't run for re-election. It'd be interesting to see if the new one is selected at gunpoint, because at this juncture, it's largely an unwelcome position for anybody, except maybe someone who likes directing moving vans to routes leaving the city. But then the mayor of Chicago has offered up an idea even dumber than defund the police. Mayor Brandon Johnson wants to create city-owned grocery stores, the notion of one of the most corrupt, incompetent governments in the West, running retail establishments, which even when well-run, eke out slim profits of an estimated 1% to 3% of sales. It's hilarious. Do it, Mayor. Let us know how you handle shoplifters in them and what city management will cost those overburdened taxpayers unable to flee the city. Justin Trudeau, on the other hand, has threatened a Soviet-style kulaks and saboteurs type response. It's the greedy, mismanaged store's fault that grocery prices are rising. He says if the grocery stores don't destabilize prices, he will take further measures, including taxes. Blaming the productive people and operations for failures occasioned by government mismanagement worked so well for the now-defunct USSR. Trudeau's going to give it a try. Well, think about their war on energy and how much that has to get passed on to somebody buying groceries or whatever. Then on top of that, think about the hundreds of food processing facilities that have been purposefully probably hit with DEWs, by the way. Think about that. Oh, how did these fires start at the meat processing plant? Well, look what they did to Lahaina. You don't think they can freaking smoke one of these corn or soy or meat processing plants with DEW? You better start getting your mind wrapped around this fact that, yes, this is probably the same way that these things go up. Now, it could be just normal arson, you know, paying some you know, criminals to go start fire somewhere. But, you know, the possibility, how to do it to this many processing plants, they're probably, in my estimation, just going off the top, just gut instinct, I'm thinking that they're probably using some sort of a artificial catalyst to start these fires. Probably it could be even remotely, whether it's a tower, whether it's some other sort of methodology. But, you know, just to put that in everybody's minds, okay? So, Wells Fargo, big new wave of layoffs coming. This is from September 13th. This is up on 100% Fed Up. Senior executives at Wells Fargo are expecting even more layoffs to impact the company soon. The banking giant has slashed 40,000 jobs since 2020, and things are only expected to get worse as the fallout from the commercial real estate sector continues to affect banks and lenders. Additionally, a banking crisis affecting the broader industry is placing additional pressure on Wells Fargo. So think about what happened with the Silicon Valley Bank and all that. You know, that's kind of moved off of the front burner. 1,144 bank branches closed in the past 6 months. PNC, 201. U.S. Bank, 185. Wells Fargo, 160. J.P. Morgan Chase, 54. Bank of America, 49. Santander, 44. Citizens Bank, 38. Huntington Bank, 32. M&T Bank, 21. Fifth Third Bank, 19. Liquidity crisis incoming. And they're talking about almost $1 trillion in assets sold and not purchased. What could possibly go wrong? Citadel Securities, $45.76 billion. J.P. Morgan, $328 billion. Wells Fargo, $86.15 billion. B of A, $534 billion. We'll see, folks. See you on the other side.
Such a beautiful place, but now you can't look down the street and think of...
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Public Broadcasting Network. So, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been denied, you know, all this Secret Service protection and that sort of thing, you know, people are saying that this could have been an assassination plot thwarted. Heavily armed man with U.S. Marshals badge tried to infiltrate RFK Jr.'s detail, and so forth. Very, very weird, weird incident. Now, with the history of his family with strange deaths, but especially the uncle and the father being allegedly murdered, assassinated, you would think that the Department of Homeland Security, the Secret Service, would quickly give Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Secret Service protection after he declared that he was going to run for the presidential office out of the Democrat Party. But of course, they've basically said, you know, shove it. So he's got a security company, Gavin DeBecker and Associates, spotted and detained an armed man who attempted to approach him at the event tonight. The man, wearing two shoulder holsters with loaded pistols and spare ammo, magazines, was carrying a U.S. Marshal badge on a lanyard and a belt clip federal ID. He identified himself as a member of my security detail. Armed GDBA members moved quickly to isolate and detain the man until LAPD arrived to make the arrest. I'm so grateful to LAPD for its rapid response. Well, you probably booked and released him. Oh, Gascon, that Soros prosecutor. Who knows if the guy's even still locked up. So, you know, it's just crazy that they wouldn't give RFK Jr. And then you have this incident. Mr. Producer, get clip one ready. And you can see basically that RFK's going there with certain things. And if he stays on his trajectory, they might have to whack him. Other people think that he's already been selected to take this thing, and he's not his dad or his uncle, and he's somehow compromised already, and he's going to be the chosen. We'll have to see about that. Let's go ahead and roll clip one real quick. All right. Hey, we're having a little technical issue there, folks. It'll come up in a sec. All right, go ahead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, another beautiful day in Honolulu. Booyah. I'm Christopher Green. It is, of course, Friday, September 8th, 2023. Today, we're going to watch a video. I'm going to play a short clip from RFK Jr., presidential candidate running for 2024, has this to say about BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, a conglomerate of sorts, an oligarchical life force that essentially owns up to 89% of the S&P 500 and has an intended literal goal, according to him, of owning and buying all of the single-family residential homes out from under you in America by 2030. On its current pace, BlackRock and these other companies, these entities, will own some 60% of all single-family homes. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
More importantly, there's three giant corporations, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which own collectively, they own each other, so it's really one giant corporation, but they also own 89% of the S&P 500. They own everything. They've now decided to buy every single family home in America. So if they stay on the current trajectory, they will own 60% of the homes in this country, single-family homes, by 2030. They literally are trying to buy everything. And the head of it, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is on the board of the World Economic Forum. And what they, you know, they've said, we want this great reset, which is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Well, they're on their way to making sure that we don't own anything. So you all probably have heard of people who are about to buy a home, and somebody comes in with, at the last minute, with a cash offer and snatches off the, out of the market.
Right.
And it's usually an LLC with an ambiguous name. But if you trace that up, you'll find it's owned by BlackRock.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly why I started and founded the Island Project, because they've told you many times before, as they've parroted.
So you see that, I mean, Trump doesn't talk like that. Trump's not ripping on BlackRock. Trump, you know, you got all these people that are freaking on the Trump Kool-Aid, but RFK sitting there dropping, you know, heavy stuff right there. And, you know, that's what they, you know, they can't have that, because he's just dropped a payload right there on to people. Now, if that gets out there to enough people, you know, because why do you think you're like those of us that have to do the real estate? I'm in the middle of an appeal right now. over real estate taxes. How they told me this year from last year, your house increased in value $30,000. And I talked about this on the air. Everybody in my area, they told, oh yeah, your house was worth $60,000 last year. Well, it's worth $90,000 now. Pay up. You ain't did nothing to your house. Crime's gotten worse. But you see, we ran this COVID op, and our tax revenue kind of dipped. So we need to milk you goy into paying some more taxes so we can run some more fake elections and, you know, turn more kids into trannies at the public schools. I mean, the public school in my area where I pay income tax, I mean, not income, real estate tax, it's so bad they had to cancel freaking homecoming because of the fights and the violence. I mean, the whole thing was just canceled. You know, the local high school here. That's how wicked this younger generation of children is, and that's due to the culture. I mean, it's many factors. Parenting, culture, music, video, you name it. All the pornography, especially, though, this TikTok, stuff where world star hip hop type mentality where they love live streaming violence and all this crazy stuff. I mean, it's just insane. But yeah, RFK, pretty interesting. Now, let's get that Rumble clip. I wanted to get this one in, clip two, Sam. Alex Jones took a caller right before he's handing off the baton to Jay Dyer, okay, from Jay's Analysis. And I like Jay Dyer. He gets into some real heavy, like, academic kind of level analysis of kind of world power structure. But this caller calls in about one thing, and it's basically Jewish supremacism. And I just want to hear kind of like how I want you guys to hear how both Alex and Jay dance around the issue. So let's go ahead and play clip two.
All right. Well, you pretty much said it all with BlackRock. My reason for calling typically happens that way. But I pulled up a couple videos on that big shoot there, and I'm kind of concerned about it falls in line with that ADL stuff. There are multiple videos of Orthodox rabbis out of Israel. Yeah, that subject again, I know. But they're calling for the destruction of the West, which they say is the biblical Adam. And they're also calling for the destruction of what they're calling Amalek. Amalek in the Hebrew means doubters or like infidel non-believers. So my concern there is like the World Zionist Congress, you know, since the late 1800s, they've been convening and the Protocols of Zion, all that junk. And all of this stuff that they've mentioned in all of these minutes at these meetings and diets, these things are being carried out right now. And a lot of us on this end are concerned that these people are doing it. And that's why we're all like the Jews. So, I mean, they say they hate Christ. They want to attack Christians and destroy Christianity. They want to take the land and rob us. What do we do? You know, I mean, I don't want to hate on everybody, but it's kind of hard when you have specific groups that are now taking over everything, targeting a bunch of us normal people who aren't doing anything wrong.
Well, there's no doubt the ADL is painting all opposition to the global government as anti-Semitic, which is not my perspective and not my goal. But, I mean, it's open for debate because Elon Musk is obviously not anti-Semitic, neither is Trump. And the ADL says, well, you're not supporting all this. We're going to come after you. I'm going to ask Jay Dyer. He's already loaded for bear. He always does an incredible job. I always eat my lunch on Friday and listen to him. We're going to come back in 1 minute, though, and I'm going to ask Jay Dyer his view on this and the dialectic, and he'll take over. To Melissa and Jennifer and Tammy and Mike, I'm sorry. And Brad, I tried to get to everybody. I'm out of time, but I'll be back. More shows coming up. I'll talk to Jay Dyer straight ahead. Stay with us. One of my favorite researchers is Jay Dyer. What a great talk show host, and I'm always blessed to have him Fridays through the fourth hour. And you have the ADL branding everything. If you don't support censorship and global government, the Ukraine war, you're anti-Semitic. Elon Musk is anti-Semitic. Donald Trump's anti-Semitic. It's preposterous. But what's the larger from a guy that has written a bunch of best-selling books and has a massive library and it really mainly quotes the globalist, who's really in charge of the New World Order, Jay, and what's going on with Judaism? Because we know Israel, 70% are against Netanyahu, but still he's in charge, or 70% are against Trudeau, but he's still in charge, parliamentary system. So I don't want to see Jews as one block because the majority of them don't even like what Netanyahu's doing. I'm not even attacking Netanyahu. I'm just saying the bigger picture, deep distillation. I'm going to let you talk and just turn it over to you. You can change subject whenever you want. I won't be here anymore. I'm going to be listening. But obviously, this they're trying to put Jews in front of the New World Order. They're trying to make it front and center. What do you make of that from your deep research? What globalist texts say and what really runs the New World Order?
All right, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think that, producer. Now, you see how Alex did that? So they're trying to put Jews out in front of the New World Order. Jews are not out in front of the New World Order themselves. You see, they are trying to put Jews out in front of the New World Order. Even though the Rothschilds, the Montefiores, the Goldsmiths, and all these other big heavyweight Jewish families have married into the British aristocracy, now you've got a Goldsmith, basically Gary Goldsmith, Kate Middleton's brother, that basically you got kosher kids. William's kids are kosher. So future king of England, halakhically they could say, is Jewish. Rothschild Boulevard in Israel, the whole nine yards, using is you know the money changers running the papal finances, on and on and on. And he never addressed these rabbis, both here in New York City especially and in Israel, that constantly talk about destroying the Edom and Amalek and all that stuff, where it's basically it's anti-white. And they want to take whites, followers of Jeshu, as they call him in the Talmud, out of power, destroy them, and all the rest of it. So, see, he didn't want to even address the fact of the anti quote unquote Gentile behavior of many of these Talmudic Jewish supremacist rabbis, you know. And David Duke wiped the floor with him some years back over all this, and he still hasn't learned to say, "Hey, look, there is a large faction of Jews, both secular and ultra religious, that are highly, highly anti-white, highly anti-American, highly anti-Gentile in general." And that's all he had to say is like, "Yeah, there's a large faction of these guys, and they hate us." And that's the simple explanation. It's there on paper. It's there with their own quotes, you know, all over the place. So go ahead and resume the clip and let Jay Dyer talk for a second.
They're trying to put Jews in front of the New World Order. They're trying to make it front and center. What do you make of that from your deep research? What globalist texts say and what really runs the New World Order?
Yeah, I think that amongst, like you said earlier in the show, the power blocks that exist, there's multiple factions vying for power. And I think most of the big geopolitical texts speak of it that way. Different factions, different groups, different mafias would like to have the upper hand. That requires working together amongst a lot of different mafias. You know, look at the way the Sicilian mafia and the other mafias all work together in the 20th century. And that's a kind of a model for the big macro picture of how I understand the geopolitics of the New World Order working. And so I think when you said earlier in the show, the real issue is not different people groups, because evil isn't restricted to any biological or genetic determinism. Evil is, in my view, a moral action. It's not something that people have in their DNA or in their group. Any specific group can act evil. Any individual person can act evil. And evil is an action. It's not a collective entity. Evil is also something, like I said, that we do morally, and it pertains to spiritual realities, in my view. So I think the head of the New World Order ultimately is Lucifer, is Satan. And then underneath that power structure, you have these competing mafias that would like to have the upper hand. And if you look at, you know, the modern nation state of Israel post Balfour and Sykes-Picot, this was really something that the British government helped to set up. And I think they did that as a way to have a beachhead, to have an Anglo-American establishment nation state as a proxy that they could set up in the Middle East to run operations. And that's why we see that eventually the nation of Israel that's reestablished then gets tired of the British having, you know, been their rulers there. And then there's bombings and so forth that moves them towards.
Exactly. Just like Hitler and Stalin turned on each other. There's constant double crossing.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's a way oversimplification to try to make everything about one of the mafias or one of the groups. There's always this coordination, and certainly there are very powerful groups in all of these areas. And, you know, when I read a lot of the texts of these people, like Brzezinski or David Rockefeller, you know, they interpret and understand these kinds of distinctions amongst people groups or religions as pieces on the chessboard, as tools, right? So they're able to utilize these distinctions, and they can push these differences as techniques of divide and conquer, as techniques of dialectics, as you said earlier. How can we foster disagreements in the Middle East? Well, there's an ancient rivalry between, you know, Islam and Judaism, for example. You know, if you look at, you know, in my
go ahead,
research,
stop
I've gone really deep.
We're coming up towards the end of the broadcast. But, yeah, well, Islam and Judaism teamed up to let the Moorish conquest of Spain and everything else. But anyway, I just wanted to play that. And then think about this. And this is an article from Philip Giraldi, What Should We Do About the Powerful Israel Lobby? And think about any other country acting like this, setting up a public affairs committee, okay? So, and this is, he's talking about Elon Musk. Thank you, Mr. Musk. It is only regrettable that no one did anything against an organization dedicated to spewing hatred directed against many Americans while also seeking to deprive an entire nation of constitutionally guaranteed freedom of speech. Now, remember Musk called out the ADL for the whole white genocide stuff with South Africa. You know, so with Malema, with the kill the boar stuff. And so, and then ADL puts out this weak little thing because, see, they like that kill the boar stuff in South Africa, the Jewish mafia. Okay. And so, you know, Jones and Dyer, they both kind of, through semantic gymnastics, they don't want to call out the Jewish supremacism that just pulsates through the West. What leaders would just invite all these millions of invaders into their countries without some sort of an outside force kind of controlling this, with doing the brainwashing, remember the Barbara Spector stuff, all that stuff. But I wanted to get at this. And while you're at it, I would also recommend that you take a look at the other groups that are partners in Zionist crime, most significantly the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which now created a PAC dedicated to defeating any politician who is known to be critical of Israel. After the 2020 national election, AIPAC boasted that the PAC that it had set up had raised $17 million to defeat candidates critical of Israel, while also supporting those politicians who were friends, 95% of whom were elected. To pretend that the lobby exists to provide some kind of perspective or balance in foreign policy is a case of who is kidding whom on the issue of Israel. ADL and AIPAC are dedicated to enriching and protecting a foreign country that is on a daily basis engaged in a broad series of crimes against humanity as well as war crimes, and which is characterized by persecution based on religion and race. ADL and the AIPAC have no concern for what damage is done to the American people due to their persistent corruption of our body politic and media to achieve their treasonous objectives. And think about the whole thing with Chuckie Schumer being involved with this Jewish group that wants to fight abortion in Israel and is all about Israelis marrying other Jews. And this whole thing, while it here, Chuck Schumer wants us to abort as many kids as we can. You see, the whole thing with Bibi talking about, oh, we're gonna get all these invaders up out of here, and we're building another wall with what is it? I guess Egypt or whatever. I can't remember with what country where they're all coming through. It's an Arab country, I think. Anyway, they're building more wall to keep some of these Eritreans and all these Africans coming into Israel. But at the same time, all the basically organized Jewish groups here are all about open borders, invite in all these refugees and blah, 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 blah. So it's this dichotomy. It's kind of a good microcosm to look at when you're kind of trying to kind of get this whole thing together. Now, Lauren Boebert and Russell Brand, these two scandals, and people are saying, and even Gateway Pundit's throwing Boebert under the bus now for, she's 36, left her husband, 4 kids. And now she's messing with a guy 10 years her senior that runs a fag bar or whatever that has gay events at some, bar in Colorado. And she's acting silly in the movie theater or whatever. Funny stuff on Daily Stormer about Lauren Boebert, if you want to read that. Russell Brand, it's hard to say. He's really kind of went... taken a lot of people with him in his little Rumble channel and YouTube and so forth. And you wonder whether some of the allegations are real or not, or whether it's all bogus and they're just putting a hit out on him due to the fact that he's gone off the rails in their estimation. There's a lot I didn't get to tonight. CDC stated there's no evidence that depleted uranium rounds cause cancer. Yeah, we'll ask Doug Rocky if he's still alive. X account predicts Aaron Rodgers' season-ending injury like an hour and a half before it happened. There was somebody on Twitter in a dummy account that said, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is about to rupture his Achilles. And it was like an hour and a half before the actual incident happened. Now, people can tinker with timestamps and that sort of thing. It's hard to say. PCR test mandatory for participants at Russian-led Eastern Economic Forum. Kind of interesting. So in Russia, the big people that lionize, in the alternative media, they're still playing PCR test games. So here's the end of the broadcast. Hope you enjoyed it. A lot of stuff I didn't get to. I was trying to move fast, but 2 hours blows by very, very quickly. Support the network if you can. We'll see you next week, God willing. So tall, and when I see them, my old stomping grounds are just sitting rabbit. They seem that rather small. So, why, must we let our chances fly? And where will we ever see hope again? Why, is it so hard to say goodbye? Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time.
That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.